So first of all, I want to apologize. It wasn't my choice to play the piano tonight. I thought I argued fairly strenuously and made a good case not to play it. And I can't keep time at the best of times when I can sing. But when I can't sing, then I'm all over the place. So I do apologize for my inability to provide good timing to the songs or rhythm. But your singing was beautiful. I'm just going to read one verse. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. I think all of you would be familiar with it. It is, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers." And I think if you were listening carefully this afternoon, it's really the thought of to the believers. Be an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So that's what I want to talk about just for 10 minutes. Paul is writing Timothy, and he says, there are no excuses, Timothy. Excellence starts with yourself. And that's where excellence always starts with. So in Timothy's context, it was probably to show what Christian behavior is like for other believers to follow his good example. That's probably the thought. That's probably Paul's primary thought. Be an example to the believers, Timothy. But tonight, I am thinking of being an example of the believers of Christ-likeness in a dark, perishing world. Think of the potential of a single life. You say, but I am only one person. You are. What am I among so many? Good question. But one life. You have a sphere of influence that I don't have. And the person sitting beside you, they don't have. You have contacts and you have friends and you're in a workplace or you're in a class and you have a sphere of influence that only you have. And so, yes, be an example to the believers, but be an example in this world of what a real believer is. Be an exemplary believer, the potential of a single life, and how one person, can motivate a host of others to become more gospel-minded. Those would be your peers, Christian peers. But also to create in others a thirst. I would like to have what she has, the potential of a single life. And the product of a disciplined life. Timothy, every dimension of your life is to be subjected to the Lord. So he gives a list. In word, so that's in your conversation. Be careful. It's not just your verbal words that you speak, that we hear. It's the words that come from your fingertips. You might not think that it's a very harmful thing that you're posting. Or you're making a comment about this, or a comment about that, or a comment about politics, or whatever. We have an unsaved son. He's 28. He calls up from time to time and he says, you wouldn't believe what some people are posting on Facebook. Oh. And your heart sort of sinks. And I'm not the only one. I've heard other people who aren't saved say, I'm reading some of the things that my Christian friends are posting and I can't believe they're saying it. So be an example, be an exemplary Christian in your words, your written words, and in your spoken words, conversation, in your conduct. Does your conduct at work draw people to Christ? What do they see of you in the lunchroom? In your conduct, in your love, that's your charity. Make sure that you are an exemplary believer. In faith, in consistency, not one day red hot for Christ, loving him, and the next day me going to the same places where they're going. You talk to them one week and you say, look it, I have got the answer for life. You haven't found it yet. Christ brings peace. He satisfies me completely. And then the next week, you're with him. Not you, but somebody. You know what I mean? Be consistent with your faith that they see that she's got something. Oh, that's wonderful. Appreciate it. She's got something. And it's consistent. It's not a flash in the pan thing. And then it says, in purity or in character, be pure. An undiluted Christian, a pure Christian. Don't water down things. Don't compromise your convictions. And don't be telling off-color jokes or anything like that. And just be an example of a believer. And the power of an exemplary life, become one of those role models. This is what a Christian is. I've heard a lot of people say, wow, some Christian they are. And it's been often said over the decades that Christians who say they're Christians who don't live like Christ lived has caused and created more atheists and agnostics than any other single factor. People who say they are Christians, but they don't walk the talk. And Paul says to Timothy, be an exemplary believer. Yes, to believers, but to the world around. Your lifestyle is your most powerful message. Keep your mouth shut for Christ if you're not living Christ in front of your friends. Don't bother sharing Christ with your friends if they don't see Christ in you. Because if they don't see Christ in you and you're sharing Christ with your mouth, then what they see is a contradiction. And it turns them off and makes them angry and hostile. We don't need that. Show Christ in your life. That's the most powerful message your friends will ever see. Your life speaks so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. So you could tell them about the wonders of Christ and how you've been saved. But they're saying, I don't even hear that. I see your life. That's what's preaching a sermon to me. So be an exemplary believer. And an exemplary believer has influence. I just want to share this with you. Christians have an image problem. We have an image problem. There's books written about Christians. The big block of Christians, the evangelicals, we have an image problem. The fact is, they've done statistics, and there are as many divorces among people who say they're Christians, born-again Christians, as there are in people who have no religious faith, as many marriage breakups. There's as many males that watch pornography, or perhaps more Christians who say they're Christians in surveys that watch pornography than people who aren't saved. And the list goes on. You can look up the stats. It's staggering. It's discouraging. We have an image problem. Most of you are way too young to remember this, but Tylenol that people take and you see on the shelves every day, they had a huge image problem way back a couple of decades ago. 7 people died with Tylenol, taking Tylenol capsules. They had been laced with cyanide. The perpetrator has never been caught. Back then, Tylenol had close to 40% of over-the-counter market for pain relievers. And within about 72 hours, those 7 bad cyanide lace capsules, amongst billions of Tylenol pills, within 72 hours, caused Tylenol's sales to plummet by 90%. So Johnson & Johnson recalled over 22 million bottles of Tylenol pills immediately after the tragedy came to light. 7 pills out of billions of pills. And it caused them an image problem. Cost the company, they lost over $100 million in revenue as a result of that tragedy. What did they do? They sent out office clerks from Johnson & Johnson. They sent out marketing reps. They sent out accounting people, just individuals from the company, Johnson & Johnson. They sent them out across North America, thousands of individual employees that had never been out of the corporate office before. And their employees made over 1 million visits, personal visits to doctors, pharmacists, administrators, and nurses in an effort to restore confidence. But you get this point? One after another. One person went in this direction, one visited that doctor, one visited that nurse, one visit that paramedic. And what were they doing? Seeking to restore the image. We have an image problem as Christians. The world out there mocks us. They laugh at us. They see how we're spending billions of dollars. We're not spreading the gospel with billions of dollars. We're putting people in politics. The billions of dollars, super PACs and all of those things that Christians have been funding, had they put those into Bibles and gospel tracts and feeding the poor and building houses for the poor, then the world would have stopped and said, this is how Christ would have spent his money. Wouldn't have been involved in this. And so the world is laughing at us. And we have hindered the furtherance of the gospel. Not we here, but out there. And we're under the umbrella of evangelicals. And so we need to one by one show the world, show the people in your circle of influence. Look, I am a humble Christian. I love the Lord. When people think of Jesus, what do they think of? They think of compassion. They think of integrity and love. And you heard a bit about it this afternoon. Sensitivity and sincerity. A real man who could weep with those who wept. Friendliness, truthfulness. Someone who held children in his arms. One who was helping. One who was non-discriminating. One who was unselfish. Beautiful features of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to show in this world. We don't go out with placards and stomp our feet against this and against that. We behave like Christ. That's how we'll restore this image. And this is how we'll win souls to Christ. The big evangelical block out there, they're hindering. They may be getting a few gains in the bureaucracy and in high places. But that's not advancing the cause of Christ. Your individual life is an example of a Christ-like life. That's what will win souls to Christ. And so distance yourself from that. Don't just apologize. I'm sorry for what goes on, what you see in the news. I'm not associated with all that stuff. I'm a simple believer who loves Jesus Christ. And I seek to do good wherever I can. I'm a failure in many ways. I'm broken too. But I love Jesus. And I want to show this kindness to you. That's what will further the cause of Christ in this world. And it starts right here. So let's say there were 300 or 400 people. Let's say 250 Christians left this conference with a burden before the Lord to commit to demonstrating a Christ-like life. 250. And you go back home and you directly interact with 20 people within your sphere of influence on a fairly regular basis. And then those 20 people who are wowed by your compassion and your kindness and your generosity, those people tell just 15 of their friends or their contacts. And they say, you wouldn't believe it. Just a second. I'm sorry to interrupt. And I know this is you'll think I'm right off the wall coming off of this one. But I have a friend who is, I call him an SNP, a super nice person. I can't get over it. The good that they do, and they're just always so helpful. When there's something to be done at work, they do it. And they're so honest. and they're so loving, and they say they pray for us. And man, when I broke up with my girlfriend, they were the first ones who sent me a little card and said, "If I'll pray for you." And I am privileged to know an SNP, a super nice person. So they tell just 15 of their friends about this super nice person. And those 15 happen to mention to just 5 of their acquaintances, "Hey, I have a friend of a friend." And they have someone in their circle of friends, and they are just unbelievable. And they say they're just Christians. Like, Christians. So what are they like? And they start to go over all the beautiful features that you would find in Christ. They say, "It's just nothing short of blowing me away. I can't believe what a nice person she is." Do you know how many people that would reach if 250 did it? 375,000 would hear about a super nice person that's Christ-like in character. Isn't that encouraging? So I just said, be an example of the believers. Look, there's nothing more important in your life than for you to be a good example of someone who's living for Christ and like Christ. A super nice person, a super helpful person, a super honest person, a super thoughtful person, a super generous person. Can you be that? Would you pray about it? That's how we deal with this image problem. The skeptics out there. And if they knew, wow, like, they call themselves a Christian and they really do live like a Christian. They have peace. They're loving. They're charitable. They're kind. They're the last ones to leave work in the evening. They never take an extended coffee break. They would never think of texting on the employer's time. They're so honest. Outstanding character. Christ-like. That's a good testimony. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the boss said, "Any more people at your church that we could hire around here?" That's a good testimony. "Any more people like you?" That's a really good testimony. And so I just want to encourage you to be an example of the believers. Be an exemplary believer to other believers, but also to the people that you rub shoulders with every day. They're in the dark. They're in the dark. They need to see light through you. Don't give them conflicting signals. Live for Christ. Be consistent day after day. God will honor you for that. And I am very confident you will see evidence in this life of your life impacting unsaved people by your Christ-likeness. Go in for living a life where people say, "Wow, we have Christ living in our neighborhood. Just I think what Christ would be like. That's who's living next door to us. That's who's working in the next office to me. That's who's in my classroom. It's not the Christ, but I think it's what Christ would have been like if he was here in 2017. That's such a wonderful thing and so pleasing to the Lord. Christ-likeness. Be an example of the believers. Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, the beautiful life he lived here in those 33 years. We're thankful for him. Many of us know him as our Savior. Bless each young person here tonight, and those who aren't saved, draw them to the Lord Jesus, we pray. And for those of us who are saved, despite our stumbles and our tumbles over the last little while, we pray, Father, that we will focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and be one of those exemplary believers bringing glory to thee. We give thanks for the kindness and hospitality here and for good food in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.